Hey everybody, it's Jim Mallard here. Welcome to the Mallard Report. The Mallard Report is recorded in front of a live virtual audience on the Duck Pond. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, live. Mallard.com. M-A-L-L-I-A-R-D.com. One more thing before we start. Let me turn it over to my friend that you may know from Ancient Aliens and the Curse of Oak Island and many other things, Robert Clotworthy.
On the Mallard Report, the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily of Evergreen Podcasts, KillerPodcast.com, sponsor or affiliate, or any other individual or group. On the Mallard Report, the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in the show are solely those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily of Evergreen Podcasts, KillerPodcast.com, sponsor or affiliate, or any other individual or group.
So Germantown Runner wants us a little bit louder, so we will do that right off the top. So, sorry for those people who have earbuds in. I adjusted myself a little bit too. Okay. Good evening, everybody. I see William Pullen in the chat room, which is good news for me. Germantown Runner, did you see the memo of what we're talking about tonight? Stay tuned for that. But first, before we get into all that, and there's a lot of it we can get into tonight, I want to mention Sarah the Wood Duck. Find unique gifts, animal prints at sarahthewoodduck.com. Sarah, a PTSD survivor, created this small business to share the beauty of nature with the world. Support Sarah and her mission by visiting her website to purchase one of her amazing gifts. SarahTheWoodDuck.com. Now I insert my own little sense of humor on there. She also sells marbles because we've all lost our marbles. Check that out, right? It's hard to find marbles these days. And as fast as we're losing them, you might want to buy 100. Just saying. Tonight. We're doing a show about UFO sightings, aliens, the whole bit. One of the most popular live call-in shows in the history of live call-in shows, when we did this the last time. Just saying. UFO sightings bring out the listeners and bring out the people. So, I'd love to hear your thoughts and experiences. The show line is 234-738-2552. So if you want to call in or chime in on the Duck Pond tonight live, now's the time to do it. If you've never been on the Duck Pond, come over. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right? Good time. That's what I'm saying. Okay. So, preferences, right? I'm sure there is a story about the marbles, and mine's much better. Okay, maybe not. We'll have to hear that sometime, and then I'll incorporate it into the ad read next week. So I can break up for... So stay tuned, I guess is what I'm saying. How's that sound, everybody? Well, everybody in the chat room probably might see it tonight, but I'll read it next week, so stay tuned. Okay, so UFO settings. I've got a bunch of UFO history. I've got some top 10 list, but I want you to call in first, because we can get into all of that as well. Also, before the end of the show, right before the end of the show, so if you don't want to hear UFOs, I need you to come back, scroll forward to about 58 minutes, or 59 minutes, right before the end of the show, right in there. We have some business I need your help with, and it doesn't cost you any money, but it's going to cost you probably an hour, if that. I mean, you guys can fake it, right? So there's that. So I need your help, though. All of you. Everybody that's listening to this program with a smartphone or a computer, I need your help, because we're trying to get things moving again with some big momentum, and I need your help to do it. So, stay tuned for that. What does UFOs mean? That's a good question, William. I'm sure you're familiar, but we're just going to play this out for everybody. Unidentified flying objects. Or I'm also talking other area for phenomenal, or AAP. I think what we always get lost in this, right? Because in the last few months, right, we've had these sightings of things that, well, but Sherman, you could call in and talk about that. And the better question is, Germantown Runner, for you specifically, as I'm looking at you, yes, you've never seen them, but I know you believe there's something else out there somewhere. I think we're all on board with that. Maybe you're not comfortable with that, but come on, the universe is infinite. Or maybe, I'm sure there's a measurement out there, right, that the universe is measured by. It's pretty big. That's all I'm going to say. And if we are the smartest thing ever, I'm hitting the desk. I'm excited about this. If we're the smartest thing ever, damn it, we're fucking it up. Oops, sorry. Language alert. Sorry. Might have to mark this one as explicit. Just because I can't control myself. We can't be the smartest thing ever. We just can't be. Ever, anywhere. Okay. Back up. Touch the brakes for a minute. We were talking about those weather balloons. But it's funny. William Poland knows this. I love talking Roswell. And that was supposedly weather balloons too, right? So the U.S. government has told us this story before. Oh, good God. Good to see Brian Bowden here, by the way, folks. So it's going to take a minute here. And since this is live calls and I don't want to get him too worked up, it's good to see him. Wow. Congratulations on beating that, buddy. Glad to see you. He had a massive heart attack the other day, so it's good to see him. Put a dollar in the swear jar. I might have to. Man, that was a really bad swear. I double hammered it. Don't get that too often. So, yeah, it's good to see Brian Bowden here tonight. Tips the hat. Good thing he missed the swear jar. That's all I can say. Might have had another one if you heard that. Okay, so, where was I? Talking about these weather balloon sightings, and the government believes that here we are again, right? Can we first be honest? And, you know, I don't think people realize at times, there are some people among us who want us to shoot those things down in, like, cities and other places. What goes up must come down, right? So, if you fire a projectile at it, not only are you knocking the balloon down, but that projectile is going to land somewhere. I don't know how many people, I mean, we can't be that removed from understanding how these things... work, right? You can't be that far removed. Yeah, well, we can, but we can't do it over populated areas. Walks. Come on now. You got to be a little bit safer than that. Risk and liability and... Oh, boy, we're getting... getting people fired up. Oh, jeez. If anybody's tried to call in, I'm an idiot because I closed the program like an idiot. Because that's what I do around here. Get too excited before the show starts and then I start swearing and close everything down. Okay, so now we're back with that open, so deeply apologize for that mistake because that was unfortunate. Okay. Well, you've been married. It's good to see that in the chat room. Good job, Geo Observation. Little tug at my, well, that's an interesting thing, would duck there. If a foreign object lands on my property, I'm making sure I get first dibs. Here's the thing. If I see Germantown Runners, cartoon of an alien spacecraft, makes me think, if one hit the ground right in front of us, right in front of my yard right now, right? Crashes in while we're live. Maybe it'd be better in the backyard, because then I could take you with... I could at least show you on the camera. Because that camera cord's probably long enough to get to the window that's closest in this over there that I can... Right? So if it crashes in the backyard... First, that is the first thing I'm doing, right? We're getting video live. You guys are getting video live. From, I don't know if it's my Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or somewhere, via this little phone... with those stickers on it. That's my phone with my sticker on it. All right? You're getting video. Not pictures, not blurry-ass pictures, because every picture I take is blurry-ass, because either my camera's dirty or I just can't hold a still camera to take a good picture. No pictures, no mistake, you're getting video, right? First and foremost. And running commentary of what you're seeing, what I'm seeing. So you know what I'm saying? So you know what's not... some game, because you see too often these videos and the people aren't talking, which is the dead giveaway in my opinion that you're playing fake games. Just my opinion. I've been wrong before, right? Okay, we all agree with that, right? Okay. And then, okay, so if the spaceship crashes in the, well, how about lands, because lands probably better. Here's the question for all you on the chat room. Everybody ready? Yes or no time. Yes or no. Everybody ready? Yes or no time. If your spaceship lands in your yard, door opens, are you willingly getting on? Willingly. Willingly getting on. I mean, you realize that service isn't going to work when you get to a certain point. Probably not even inside the ship. Are you willingly getting on the UFO, the AAP, the foreign craft, whatever you want to define that as? If it lands in your yard, here we go. We're going to answer this call first and watch the chat room for some. Welcome to the Mallard Report.
Hey, how are you at the Mallard Report? I figured I'd call in because I can now.
Oh, well, first and foremost, amen, brother.
Thank you very much. I'll be honest, it's really good to be here, Jim.
So,
it's an experience I don't think anybody really wants to ever go through. But yeah, it was in and out, and I got a little paranormal on the. I'll talk about UFOs, but
Give us. I'll give you some grace here.
Okay, so it was on 3/2, March 2nd. I had this. On the same day, early in the morning at 10:38:39 p.m., my first cousin's daughter had their first child. It was wonderful because she just got married. My uncle died last year. It was really tough for her because, you know, special moments for her, and it was great. And I that we welcomed the new child into the family, and you know, it's always great. You know, babies are great. You know, more kids, and couldn't be happier for him. And I kind of told him, like, you know, don't worry, your grandfather was there, my uncle, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm sure he's over the moon, and everything's great. It just so happens that I think my uncle is doing double time. I think he helped with the baby because 12 hours later at 10:38:39 p.m., I was being reborn with a stent. So there's a little paranormal for you.
That is.
I'm very much into the divine intervention there. Yes, I'm calling in 5 days after a heart attack. Let me tell you. I wanted to go home. I knew there was a 24 to 48 hours because you can get, when you have a stent, you can possibly get a stroke. So I was kind of like, you know, biding my time. But after that 48 hours, I was like, either you pull these damn things from me or I'll do it myself and you'll find me walking down at the local mall over there wearing nothing but this you know, hospital gown and a naked ass walking down the street. But that's nothing new for Florida, anyhow.
Yeah, I was going to say, Florida man, everybody, here he is, live on the
show. I would have been Florida man at that point. So, yeah. Are you talking just generic UFOs?
Yep, so far I am.
Or just the BS that was floated a couple, like a month ago?
I'm talking in general.
Okay, so I can tell you straight up. There's a lot of experiences. Actually, in my area, I'm in the West Palm Beach area right now. There's been numerous sightings. Even my other half, who doesn't believe in this crap, saw some strange stuff that, and she admitted to it. And I've seen some things, and there's some weird interactions. About a year prior, when we were coming down here looking for a place to live, when I traveled from New York to Lawrence, South Carolina. That's where I stay over and then come down. When I got to Fayetteville, which is an hour prior to Florence, they shut down 95. I had the family in there. It was like a quarter to 12. I pulled over. They put me on an old country road. And at that moment, I saw this really weird object in the sky, totally UFO, a glowing red, green, blue, orange, purple little burst. It could be a drone. Fort Bragg is near there, but I decided, you know what, this is a good moment. I want to stop and have a cigarette, get out of the car. I have the ways going. I'm no more than an hour away from where I got to be. So I'll be there at 1 in the morning, which is what I suspected anyhow. So I get out of the car. So obviously I'm watching this thing, and I'm wishing I had my psionic little night scope so I can videotape, and it's going, it's changing color, and it burst a little bit more at me. And the next minute, you know, like, it kind of gets, you know, bigger, moves a little bit towards us. My wife is passed out in the front. My two kids are in the back, passed out. And the next minute, I wake up, and I'm actually in the car waking up. I'm like, what the hell happened? And when you're using Waze or these apps, they'll say, do you want to resume?
Yep.
And I said, yeah, of course I want to resume my trip, right? And
I love me some Waze, by the way. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. I actually have a voice on Waze. If you want me to share it, I'll share it with everybody. It's hysterical, and it's a swear jar thing.
You missed my swear jar thing earlier, so I don't know if we need any more of that.
Yeah. Seven people that were using it. So when I hit the resume button, and I'm thinking it's 12 o'clock, you know, it was no more than 15 minutes. And I'd be there at 1. I said, yeah, I want to resume. And it tells you when you're going to get there. And it says you'll be arriving at 4 a.m. So I missing time from 12 midnight to 3 in the morning. So I'm like, oh, this is not good at all. And eventually I get down to Florence. I'm like trying to struggle, like, what the heck's going on? And everybody wakes up in the car. And none of my kids complain about any headaches or any problem, not even my wife. And they're like, oh, my head hurts, you know, like whatever. And so I believe we had a missing time down there at that moment. Fast forward a couple of months later when we move into this new house, and I woke up with a not nice feeling coming out of the rear end of myself. I felt like I just had a colonoscopy in the middle of the night. Just didn't feel good. I had to get up, and I walked, and it's like 3:30 in the morning, and I move out of my bedroom into the living room area just to hang out there, and I'm just kind of like, what the heck's going on? Something's not right here. I couldn't sleep. My little one comes down, and she's scared out of her mind, and I said, are you all right? You have a bad dream? She goes, no. I saw the UFOs and the aliens, and I try to, you know, I took this with me so I could whip them. Can I stay here with you? So I think we had a visitation that night as well. That's on my own personal experience. And I love reporting when I have my own video from my cameras. You know, that's where I love giving evidence to the world, because this is coming directly from me.
Right.
And I'll be off in a second. But as far as what's going on in the world in those balloons and those objects, there has been talk about Project Bluebeam, and I think I never thought this would happen. I think they were trying to do something of that, but cooler heads prevail. And you got to understand something. Shooting down a UFO never would happen. It's kind of like, you know, bringing a .22 caliber handgun to a howitzer fight. You're never going to win on these crafts. They've been here for upwards of millions of years. They know how to cloak themselves. And what was taking place there, I do not believe was extraterrestrial, interdimensional, or ultra-terrestrial, or even inner Earth in relationship to the UFO subject. I think it may have been back engineered product, and the government was testing. I think China and Russia also have their own, you know, recovered crafts, but there's no way any of that stuff was real UFOs.
Yeah, Aaron, so. Can I make this point, since you made the howitzer and handgun a reference? That's like you trying to go out and shoot that thing down with your handgun or your rifle. It's thousands of feet in the air. You're not going to do it.
Even with the most sophisticated craft we have in our arsenal, would be, I think, Dave Craft, you know, or a Blackbird, or we do have a TR-3B. It's not public, but it's been seen. I'll explain Project Bluebeam to you. Project Bluebeam, it goes back to some documents within the government, but there is Serge Monet, I believe his name is. He was a very liberal socialist guy out of Canada, and he put forth a lot of information on Project Bluebeam. What they're going to do is, and the plan was for the NWO, and if we know what that is, I'm trying to use codes so you don't get blown out, Jim. The idea was to use 7D, 8D hologram technology, which we do have, that would project an alien invasion throughout the world, and then the return, I mean, where people would be actually under the guise of these, you know, like what looks like real craft and physical objects, the subversive government would start killing people with DEWs, which is direct energy weapons and bombs, and then they would simulate a battle a messiah coming, and almost like the end of days, where I forgot when they get pulled up into heaven. All of this to create the illusion of not only alien invasion, but a religious, you know, get rid of all the religious people, all the people that were not going to go along with the plan of one world government, and then initiate a one world government where people, you know, would swear an oath to whomever, usually it's Lucifer, and there'd be one, you know, leader in the planet, NWL. And this has been talked about a lot. Some guy, Stephen Greer, which I believe is a cult, he picked up on this a lot and he tried to sell it to people, but I never thought this would happen. I don't think these balloons were UFOs. I don't think there were projections. This was a really bad idea and bad executed plan by whomever. And I don't think it's just like China doing it or Russia. I think it was a subversive element within our government. And as we've seen today, thank you, Tucker Carlson. There's a lot of stuff that we've been lied about, and it just wasn't working. People aren't buying this stuff anymore. So, but there are plenty of craft out there.
And don't worry about it. I flashed the appropriate hand signal. so YouTube won't ban me.
Yeah, nope, no problem.
You could go back and watch and see what I did, and you'll appreciate it.
You got it. But I just wanted to say hi to everybody. Good to hear. You know, it's good to be here and heard. And God bless everybody.
God bless you, man. And if
praying works, folks. Let me tell you. I hit the lottery technically, so. Pray when you have a problem.
I would say so.
But you got it. I'll let you go so other people can come in.
All right. Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
All right. You got it, brother. Bye.
So watch this. This is how this show works with its fancy technology.
Hello.
Kevin Harold, welcome to the Mao Report. So say all those things you want to say.
How are you, Jim?
Pretty good, man. It's good to hear your voice. It's been a hot minute. So before we start, how's sunny Southern California, not South Carolina?
You know, it's a little brutal right now. It's like, oh my gosh, I think it's about 60 degrees.
Oh, that's horrible. We had like 3 inches of snow here today.
Yeah. No, you know, I always hate talking about California because the rest of the country hates on us, you know, for that. But no, it's the weather's, you know, really pretty good for California.
I was gonna say I'm a NASCAR fan. The Xfinity race was snowed out a couple weeks ago. So it has been cold there for a while, or at least for a minute.
We've had unprecedented rain and snowfall here in Southern California. It's actually crazy. If people know Big Bear and Yosemite, they're locked down. Like, it's an emergency situation, like huge amounts of snow, lots of rain. The weather's been a little crazy down here. But again, you know, I kind of hate to, you know, put that out there because the rest of the country deals with temperatures way worse than we do here. But for California standards, it's been crazy.
So, not to sidetrack us into weather and strange weather patterns, because that's a whole different show.
Yeah.
we're here talking UFO and it's aliens, so what do you got?
Well, let's see. So, kind of, I guess I would call this a little bit of Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees of separation. So, you don't even know this. We haven't talked in a minute, but I started producing a podcast. I'm doing that. So the name of the podcast is The Fighter Pilot Podcast. And the host of the show is Vincent Aiello, call sign Jello. He's a 20-year Navy fighter pilot, Top Gun graduate and instructor, flew the F-18, flew the F-16, really awesome guy. So he started a podcast years ago called the Fighter Pilot Podcast, and it was audio only. And late last year, we got in contact with each other, and now I'm producing the video, the new video series of the Fighter Pilot Podcast, which you can find, or your viewers can find, on YouTube. Anyway, so where this is weird 6 degrees of separation is that one of the guests that he interviewed is David Fravor. And for those who know about the whole Tic Tac sighting and the video with David Fravor, there's 6 degrees of separation there. So I've had an opportunity to get a little more involved, sort of behind the scenes, understanding kind of what's been coming to light, you know, recently. And then obviously we've had, you know, our government start this new, what would you call it, Jim? A new investigative body that's, yes, that's sort of looking at this. And now they've rephrased it as UAP, right? Unidentified, what is it, aerial phenomenon.
Yeah.
Right? And I think what's really interesting for me on this subject is that, you know, before we had people saying that we saw something, firsthand accounts, and we'd get these really, you know, grainy videos, or we'd get these weird photographs, and in between you have obviously doctored fake stuff. So it really undermined the credibility factor. But then when you have somebody like David Fravor, highly decorated naval aviator, you know, led an entire air wing on an aircraft carrier. I mean, these are not people that are idiots. These are really, you know, smart individuals vetted by our government who have said, I saw something I can't explain. And what I saw it do is beyond my comprehension. And now you have leaked videos that come out from systems on board these aircraft that the government couldn't deny because they got leaked. And so something's definitely going on. And I don't know what it is, but it's really, really interesting. And more seems to come to light sort of every single day. So I think, you know, literally within the last few years, I think the credibility of unidentified aerial phenomenon or UFOs, I think, you know, it's reached a new level, because you have very credible sources now and the government saying, yeah, we don't know what it is. That's a huge step. I think that's a huge step.
It definitely is. I mean, anytime the government admits something, that means they know 100 times more than they're willing to admit.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then when you see our military aviators, right, and people who work on board these ships, and radar operators and others that are like, I don't know what this is. It, you know, it kind of should give all of us goosebumps a little bit, right? Because what does that mean, right? I mean, what are the choices, right? Is this another country that has technology better than ours, right? That kind of gives me goosebumps. But then if that's not the case, then what is it?
Well, if it's another world that has better technology,
which now, is a possibility, right?
Which is, I mean, that's even more goosebumpy, right? Like, because they have better technology than us, we're kind of second fiddle for a change to whatever, which isn't good.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't the thought of it make you feel kind of small? You know, I mean, if you think about the United States of America, right? We have arguably the greatest military on planet Earth, technology, you know, through the roof, right? Stuff that we don't even know about exists in a military world. But the things we do know about are freaking awesome. They're incredible, right? And we have this, like, illusion or delusion that, like, we're superior. And what would happen if, and I think about this, what would happen if tomorrow we find out we're not alone, that these things are not from here? What would that do to our society? What would that do to everybody? How would your thinking change? How would everything change? It's a very, very big question. And I think that's the interesting part about this, because when you have people who are trained in aviation who see things that they can't explain and they do the things that they said they did, and the government acknowledges it and says we're going to study it, right? You know, myself personally, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I mean, to think we're alone in the universe is absurd. It's absurd.
Yeah. Well, that's what I say all the time. If we're the smartest thing ever, oh, I got in trouble with the swear jar earlier when I said this. We messed it up. I'll clean it up this time.
Okay.
I added some colorful language in there. Can you imagine?
Not you.
Not me. I try to avoid. I mean, it was right off the top of the show too. That was the worst part. Like, I, you know, normally as it unwinds, I kind of get more ramped up. But Brian Boda, who was on before us, has heard the podcast and he said it was good, which is kind of funny. You're talking about 6 degrees of separation. Well, he's already heard the show and he thinks it's good. So there you go.
Oh, great! Thank you. Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, but the number of I've heard of, what is it, the drip. Disclosure, right? I think we're full on board with that now. I mean, we're dripping it. And then, and probably in 10 or 15 years, when whatever finally comes out, everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, I've known that. Which is
well,
how it's going to...
You know, think about this just for a second. I won't hog the airways here because I'm sure there's other people that want to get on. But here's this is just me, common sense, okay? Number one, it is absolutely absurd to think we're alone in the universe on intelligent life. It's absurd, number one. Then if these things are here, clearly they mean no harm because they could have eviscerated us.
Oh.
Our finest weapon systems on planet Earth, right? They could, what, neutralize them in a blink of an eye, right?
It'd be like us fighting the... both sides in the Civil War right now.
Well, like your previous guest who was on, he used some analogy like, you know, a shotgun against a whatever, right?
Yeah.
So the point is this. They clearly do not mean us harm, or they could. It's like not even fair. It's not a fair fight, right? So I don't know if we are ready as a society to deal with it, to be frank. Because we can't deal with politics in our country, let alone aliens. I mean, God forbid, right? But, I mean, it is a real thing that is occurring right now. So I think it's interesting. I'm kind of excited about it, and we'll kind of see where it goes. But clearly something is happening.
For sure. I know you said you didn't want to hold everybody up, so I got one more question for you, and then I'll kick you off. How's it sound? Can I call you back in half an hour? Because I want to pick your brain about something.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Kevin, it was good to hear your voice, but I told you I was going to kick you off, so sorry.
Well, bye. Have a good night, everybody.
Okay. Now, I just need, I think William Pullen, if he's still not doing his chores, needs to call in now because we need to, his perspective on some of these things because he is the UFO guy around tonight. So, Kevin's good. It's been a while since I heard his voice. He's run the good life, so to speak, with us. He started off a paranormal show and then, got involved with some other projects, but he's good to have in the shadows. And I do truly appreciate him and all he's done for the show and done for me for the years. So thanks for that. And here we go. This probably is who I think it is, but we'll find out based on area code, I believe. How are you doing tonight?
Hello.
Well,
I'm good. How are you?
Man, you threw me off of going so deep there, man. Lighten up a little bit. No.
outrageous. So you were talking about UFOs. That's outrageous by itself.
Yeah, so I told you earlier this evening that you needed to quit your chores and pay attention to the night show. And that should have been a massive clue to you that we were talking UFOs.
I took that at face value, so here I am.
Because normally I don't give hints to what's coming on, but the people that I do need to make sure they're paying attention.
Yeah. Is that why you messaged me last night?
May have been.
Out of the blue, yeah.
May have been. May have been.
Yeah.
I was doing some prep last night, and I was Google searching, and I was thinking, well, who do I know to verify that with? Because I made some notes in case nobody called in, right? So
there you have it.
So the UFO historian's with us. So now I'm gonna put you on the spot.
Okay.
This is the tough one. Are UFO sightings for you more exciting pre-Wright brothers, pre-human flight, than they are now?
No, I'm more enamored with more of the modern sightings. We can confirm the data more easily. We have a higher capability of observing our own skies. I mean, NORAD watches our skies 24/7, 365. So our ability to use technology to observe the skies above our head is obviously night and day compared to what we had, say, pre-1930. So we're able to chronicle these things with technology. And everyone has a cell phone. You can take pictures and video, although not the greatest quality, but still, you know, it's available to us. So I'm much more fascinated by more recent sightings because I think, like Brian and Kevin said, you have more qualified observers seeing these things they can't explain, which suggests certainly their testimony is stronger because of their qualifications, their point of view, their job descriptions, that sort of thing. So, and then we have gun camera video, so we have a lot more to these sightings that we did, say, even 80 years ago.
But the pre-flight ones, right, the 1800 ones, the before that ones, there was nothing else in the sky, so it's really hard for them to imagine anything up there or know what.
Yeah. I mean, that is true. Yeah, I think you referred to the great airship sightings of 1896, 1897, that time frame.
Yeah, I think there was one of those I looked up. Because I was interested in those. Because,
yeah.
Because, I mean, while you don't know what you're looking at, right? Because, I mean, back in the day, what are the odds you knew what Saturn or Mars looked like, right?
Sure, yeah.
So there's some of that, but there's also some of that, well, there was nothing else up there. And, you know, a much likely or less likely ability to talk about it because people would think you were batshit crazy.
Yeah, that point of view holds a lot of weight. It does. Because if there's nothing else operating in the sky, then that means logically there's not much up there to misidentify. Although it must be said, some of those cases of that time frame have been shown to be hoaxes. Journalistic integrity wasn't of the highest quality back then. But
wait,
there are certainly
wait, time out. Journalistic integrity wasn't high back then. You're assuming it's higher today.
Oh, no, it's lower now. God. That's a whole other program.
I was going to say, I've been trying. Oh, this is a bad pun because they were talking about the train derailment in the pond for a few minutes. I don't want to derail this show. So, anyways.
Well played.
Got to get that joke in there.
Yeah. But, no, you're right. If there is a lack of terrestrial technology flying in our skies, then it begs the question, what are these people seeing? They're not misidentifying a biplane or an F-16 or a blimp. There's nothing operating over North America at the time. So what are people seeing? And not everybody's hoaxing stuff. Not everybody's lying. So people are witnessing things they can't explain, which by definition is a UFO, which doesn't get us to the extraterrestrial, but at least it shows that things are being seen which are unexplained, and that by itself is fascinating. So it's interesting. I listened to an interview with Kevin Randall interviewed Bud Hopkins before Bud Hopkins passed away. And Hopkins had an interesting point of view. He stated that people who were more skeptical about this stuff said that, well, you had Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon serials in the 30s and 40s. And you would have expected people to see spacecraft that were described in those serials. They looked like bullet-shaped craft with fins on them. They looked like basically miniaturized rockets. Well, the first UFO sightings happened in the 40s and 50s, people were saw things that were round, saucers, which were not described in those serials. So people are relatively honest. The vast majority of UFO witnesses are honest and they're being truthful as they can be about what they see. And some people do misidentify things, but there's a lot of quality sightings on the books that defy explanation. That by itself is fascinating.
But my okay, so everything has been actually on the YouTube tonight. I got this luster. Somebody photoshopped that floating out there because we're talking UFOs, and you know you got to do what you got to do. That whole shape thing has always blown my mind, right?
Yeah.
Because I mean, yes, it makes perfect sense because I've thrown a frisbee before, right? I'm not
sure. Yeah.
But I don't see how, you know, in real life physics there. I just don't see how. I mean, again.
I mean, these are all legitimate questions. Sure. We've all thrown a frisbee. So how would a craft that rotates on its own axis operate successfully? With our own terrestrial technology, nobody knows how. But I think all the guests and all the listeners can assume that if we're being visited by someone, a race that's traveling from, say, 30 light years away or from another dimension or from another time frame, we can logically assume or make the jump that their technology is far in advance of our own. So maybe their technology has allowed them to use structures of crafts to travel to our planet that seem to us nonsensical or not workable. So we're kind of constrained by what we know, and what we know is painfully little. The level of ignorance we have about our universe is awe-inspiring. We don't know most of what there is to know, so perhaps a saucer-shaped craft is very workable and logical once you have a certain level of know-how to make it work. We just don't have it now.
So, William, I'm going to tell you this because you may have missed this when I talked about this last time. So we're in UFO month now, so you need to pay attention the rest of the month.
Yes, sir.
So I'm sure you'll have some have some issues with some things that may be said in the coming weeks, which is good. Because that's why I like having these conversations.
Yeah, the discussion is what counts. Yeah, it's the interaction and the discussion is what really carries weight. Whether we agree to disagree or not, the exchange of ideas is what really counts. So that's good stuff.
That's what I'm after, right? I'm not. Yeah. I think some of these names may be familiar to some people, maybe not. We'll see. But the important thing is to I'm trying to hit it from different sides, right? And bring out the best in everybody. So that's the key.
That's the way to play it. Yeah, you got to have believers, skeptics, non-believers, all points of view. Everyone has a take that is may contribute to the conversation, so it's all good. Having that talk is important, not just one point of view or one voice. So yeah,
that's why I'm giving it a whole month, right? So we can get deep into it and talk different things and different angles of it.
Good stuff.
So
are there really any other subjects to talk about?
Well, for you, no, but for me, yes.
Okay, agreed.
Which is good because I need balance, and this is it, right? This is the heart of the matter. Some people are like you and love the one thing, right? And dive deep. I love everything too much, so I'm an inch deep, mile wide. I love everything. You are, what is it, 7 or 8 miles below the Earth in UFOs.
Agreed.
Or maybe, for the UFO topic, it's above. I'm not sure.
All bets are off. It could be anything. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, you have a much more diverse palette in front of you, looking at things. So that's all good. Yeah,
I think it adds to the interest because you know we got the ghosts and the Bigfoot and all these other things, right? And no, Everett, we're not talking about Roswell all month. Jeez, oh, please. I'd love to. Yeah, everybody knows that's like my favorite UFO sighting. Why? I don't know.
You could literally do a program every day of every year for all eternity and discuss just that one case.
No, you could. There isn't that much there.
Yeah, there's so much to it, yeah.
There's a lot of stories made up about it, but there's not that much there.
Yeah, agree. There's a lot of information that's not true around that case. Yeah, it's been talked about ad nauseum, certainly. It's historically important, but certainly it's the elephant in the room. I mean, it's talked about all the time to the detriment of other cases that are pretty important, but are just lost in the conversation because everyone talks about Roswell, and it kind of is what it is, even to this day.
The big Roswell tourist complex keeps us talking about it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's
you caught the phrasing of that. That was good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and, you know, beyond the UFO industry, I mean, the town of Roswell is pretty nondescript, pretty, it's not a big populated city. It's a town, it's a destination city. That's what Don Schmidt calls it. You don't go to Roswell for vacation, really. You don't. It's out of the, it's not even an interstate near it. The closest interstate is about 3 hours away. But every year in July, they have the UFO Festival, and the population just explodes. So it's certainly a cash cow for the city, the UFO topic. And they have a saucer-shaped McDonald's, for Christ's sake. So that says it all.
If they want to, you know, the tourism board there wants me to sponsor, they want us to be a sponsor of the show, the email address is on the website. That's all I can say.
Yep, do it. Do it.
Prove me wrong.
That's right.
You'll hear me sing a different tune next week after a big fat check arrives. How many? Okay.
Yes.
I know you don't know the answer to this, but how many books have been wrote about that alone? Like hundreds, right?
It's gotta be hundreds. I have at least 60 in my collection.
You personally have 60.
I personally have 60. Yeah.
See,
the individual titles about Roswell.
But what, okay. Just for Everett, because he's, you know, going to poke me if I don't ask you. So give me three or four minutes. What happened there? And we'll just sum this up nicely, and we'll let you have the final word. Well, until I talk to somebody else.
Oh, gosh. So an unidentified a debris field was found by a local rancher. He sat on it for a few days. Not literally sat on it, but he didn't decide to go into town. It was suggested to him by some of his friends to drive into town, into Roswell, and the debris field is a good 2.5 hours away from Roswell. So that was quite a bit of a trip for him. He went to town and brought it to Sheriff George Wilcox, the sheriff of the town at the time. He called the local Army Airfield, Roswell Army Airfield. They sent their intelligence officer out there, a CIC intelligence officer, went with him. They found the debris, brought it back to Roswell. And the commander of the base, William Blanchard, authorized a press release declaring they had found the wreckage of a flying disc. And that was recanted less than a day later by the higher-ups at Carswell Airfield in Fort Worth. And the story disappeared after that. The cover-up was successful, and whatever crashed there was left unknown. The story disappeared until the late 70s, went through a third party. Stan Friedman was made aware of Jesse Marcel Sr., who was living in Houma, Louisiana. Jesse Marcel Sr. was the intelligence officer sent to the debris field back in 47. And then the story exploded, and now we have it to this day. It's hundreds of witnesses and some documentation, meaning newspaper clippings, but nothing physical. And that's where we're at right now. It's a historically important case. The data we have strongly suggests the extraterrestrial, but at least in my humble opinion, without a piece of a ship or government documentation that's valid or a body, we can't make that leap. But the data of all the possibilities to explain the case, the data points in that direction very strongly. So it may have been the first alien visitation. At least a landing, that is, or crash. So it's kind of Roswell, you know.
Yeah, that's good. Just to kind of keep everybody on the same page here tonight, because I don't want to talk over anybody. Okay, so next question: Does the government have the craft still?
I don't know. I'm a skeptical person. I think likely they do. I think they've recovered some physical evidence of alien visitation, not just at Roswell, but a few other occasions. I don't know if they have an intact craft or pieces of one. We do know that there were several flights that left Roswell Army Airfield and left to initially they went to Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth. Then they went on to Wright Field, which is in Dayton, Ohio. It's now it's called Wright Patterson Air Force Base. And we have documentation to show those flights took place. As to what those flights carried, we don't have any documentation to prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt. But it's logical to assume that whatever was recovered at the crash, at the debris field, we know it was brought back to Roswell Airfield. We know it was taken on those flights to Wright Field. So if they did recover something alien, I think it's still there. I don't see any reason to send it to other bases, because then that's a lot more to cover up. It would make sense to have everything in one location so that you could control everything in one spot. And even to this day, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base has the facilities to reverse engineer, examine, and store anomalous objects, technology. Not just alien, but, you know, back in the day, it was Axis power technology, German, Japanese, Soviet. So it's a logical choice to where you would fly that stuff. So beyond that, I don't know. I don't know how much we have, if we have much, but there's a lot of stories out there that claim we do, but there's no physical evidence or documentation to prove those stories. But I think it's logical to think we do have something.
Okay, so... Oh, I got to do this. Hold on one second. Shifting Gears brought to you by evergreenpodcast.com. Shifting Gears brought to you by evergreenpodcast.com. Okay. Germantown Ron wants me to ask you, why do you think the government has rebranded UFOs to UAPs?
In my humble opinion, I think that was an effort to bring some credibility to the topic. I think Kevin mentioned earlier that the level of credibility the field is enjoying now is unprecedented. Agreed. It's a huge step. Before, this was a topic you could talk about at your dinner table. Now it's being talked about on Fox News, on CNN, on NBC. It's become nonpartisan. You've got Republicans and Democrats both pushing for disclosure or for some knowledge. Now, I think the reassignment of the acronym from UFO to UAP is an effort to make that topic more credible, so it's taken a more serious light. I think that's all it is.
Because I know we've talked about this. I don't remember where we talked about this, but it doesn't matter. We'll just sum it up this way. The UFO community has done themselves no favors.
Agreed.
is that a fair summation right there?
Agreed.
Tweet form.
Yeah.
I'm trying to avoid a swear jar again.
Oh, God. You've got the fraudsters, the charlatans. You've got the Stephen Greers of the world pushing nonsense and basically... you know, making money off lies. That is to the detriment of the entire field, because you have quality cases given, testimonials given by highly credentialed people. But those fall through the cracks because people like the more sensational stuff. They like the woo. And that the field is outstandingly good at hurting itself. So it's always been like that. So the UFO industry, the UFO community is its own worst enemy, to be blunt.
That goes, I think you summed it up better than I did, but, you know, we gotta.
Yeah.
Are you're still doing your video once in a while? You're still blogging. Why don't you tell people where they can find you? If they're as interested in the UFO topic as you, or slightly as interested as you, where can they find you?
They can find me on my blog page on Facebook entitled Cleverly William G. Pullen.
Boy, I never would have found you there.
Yeah, that's outrageous. I do programs about every week or 10 days. Usually if a topic comes up that begs to be discussed, I mean, last night I did one about the rampant misidentification of the Venus-Jupiter conjunction. Those two planets pass by each other, at least from a visual standpoint from Earth, on March 1st, and people around the country were inundated with calls about the UFOs in the sky when it was just two planets in conjunction. That's all it was. But the observational skills of the average person are pretty low. So they saw those as UFOs when they were just two planets. I mean...
Hey, wait. Time out. Well, you may be right. The observation skills of people are lacking. At least... Give me a high five here. At least they're looking up.
Agreed. At least they're asking. That's a big key. If someone doesn't know something or they're ignorant about a topic, the best thing we can do is say, I don't know, educate me. That's the way to do it. Ask questions. They're looking up. They're trying to find out information. That's the whole deal. I mean, we can't just stand pat and just be unknowing. We have to find things out. It's like that question you had about if an alien spacecraft lands in your backyard, how are you going to find out about the aliens? You go on the ship. You explore. You learn. You're not going to learn anything if you don't go on board the ship.
But, you know, there are some people who would be, you know, frightened, I guess is my... But I don't think I have...
Sure.
I think I've seen a bunch of yeses. I think I have the right crowd in attendance tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, obviously, I might be preaching to the choir at this point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, the only way we learn is to ask questions. And like going back to your point, to take our conversations, to have exchanges of ideas and concepts and opinions, that allows us all to learn, not just about each other's thoughts, but about the subject matter at hand, whether it's UFOs or ghosts or whatever the case may be. So being able to talk and ask questions, that's the most important thing above everything else. So
that's why we do what we do around here. Ask a bunch of questions.
That's right. Yep. Yep, Bruce.
Well, Mr. Pullen, I appreciate you immensely, on and
Jim,
off the air.
The feelings are mutual. Great to have you. Great to be on your show. It's great to have you in. Great to have you on your show.
And one of these nights, I'll actually get you on for a full hour, and we're going to dig deep into these UFO sightings. But
I would be honored. I'm at your service.
I know you are. And I've got a bunch of questions, so, but we don't have time for them tonight because we've only got 3 minutes left. Anyways.
So, hey, well, I get off the air. I know you got to close out of the program. So thanks again, Jim.
Give your better half a hello for me, too, by the way.
Okay, I sure will. You take care. Okay,
yep, goodbye. Bye. There we go. There's William Pullen there. Yes, I definitely do, German Tone. I definitely do need to get him on. I've been saying that for, God, too many years. And it will happen. I mean, it's a question of when, not if. So he knows that, and he appreciates the nuance. We're in UFO months, so it won't happen in this one, but it might happen. It will happen going forward. But we're definitely spending a little bit of time here digging the UFOs. Some people have asked for me to settle down a little bit and kind of dig into a topic for a bit. So that's the genesis of this whole month. So we're going to spend the next 3 weeks, I think it is, with different UFO people talking UFOs. So we're going to see how this works out. For those folks who think I am a little too scattered, we're going to kind of channel down. I think I ran a whole list of things out one night. I'm going to tweak some of that because I've got some better ideas. So I think I could, Brian, but with the hour, I'd rather just dig straight in. Of course, that's kind of what we did tonight, a roundtable with a few guests. Not talking over each other and not feeling, I don't know. It gets hard when you have two or three guests in an hour. You just kind of are really limited by, because I don't want to waste people's time. I think it's probably my biggest problem with that. Okay. So, yeah, fun night tonight. We talked a lot of UFOs. I didn't even get into any of my research. But I did want to bring up one tidbit here before I get into this other topic. Where'd it go? Let me scroll down here and find it. One of the oldest documented UFO sightings was recorded by Roman historian Julius Aquinas in the 4th century. He wrote about a strange object in the sky that resembled a spear seen in 218 BC. This is thought to be the earliest UFO sighting in the history. Okay. Here we go. I told you at the beginning of the show, I need your help with something. I need you to go over to goodpods.com. Download whatever you need to do. Create an account. Go over and listen to the Mallard Report. Leave a comment. I think it's an interactive site. Follow the Mallard Report. Interact over there. Got a little juice. I don't have juice in the game, right? It's just an app. But I they're good people over there running that app. And I want to support that app. So this is the first time in the history of the show that I've come out in favor of a podcast app over Spotify, Apple, OneHour, whatever. Good pods, right? We need to get over there and download that and make sure that I got to make sure that's the right site before I continue. Yeah, it's Good Pods there. So that, I mean, we've got the Substack going on, which is subscribe and all Mallard Report only stuff. But Good Pods is a public place. It'll do the show wonders if you guys get over there and interact. And it's only going to take a few minutes. So I need you to do that. I mean, obviously, I'd love you to listen. If you're on a podcast app, switch over to there. It'd be good for the show. That's all I'm going to say. And Germantown Runner wants me to hit the post. And it was good to see Brian Bowe tonight. So we're going to hit the post in honor of that. It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us. It's been a good show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. Take a few moments, subscribe, share, all the fun stuff. You know how to do it. I don't have to tell you. Just be ready for next week. It'll be sooner than you think.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not, it's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.